A very, very warm welcome to our service this morning. Just a couple of things to draw to your attention. The main thing is that next Sunday, it's our patronal festival, as it were. So St. Margaret's Church was dedicated by then Bishop of Oxford, Bishop Wilberforce, on the 23rd of October, 1854. So we picked that sort of last Sunday in October as our sort of patronal festival. So it's a joint service here. Next Sunday at 10 o'clock, and the good folk from Holy Trinity will join us. They then return the favour on Trinity Sunday, which is in May every year. So if you do come at 9:30, that's fine. You'll have half an hour just to be in church and pray and just prepare yourself. It occurred to me this week, as I was pondering, that God enjoys our Sunday services. Just like this afternoon, we got to our little granddaughter's birthday party, and they're coming round to our house this afternoon. And I'm really looking forward to that, because all the family will come, and it'll just be a great occasion. We'll have a meal together, and all the kids will be running around. And it just occurred to me, just as I'm looking forward to that, and it'll be lovely. So God looks forward to us gathering together here this morning, because it's family, exactly the same way. And individually, this is the point of all this. Individually, we're frail and weak. And that's why God has put us together as families, to love each other, to forgive each other, and to strengthen each other. Just this week, I was reading that Jesus washed the feet of Judas Iscariot just before Judas went out to betray him. Isn't that extraordinary? But Jesus needed the little family of disciples that he loved and loved him. So we are family, just like that. And God has called us to, as it were, wash each other's feet, to love each other and forgive each other and those sorts of things. And our service this morning, that's the heart of it. It's our loving Saviour is with us. We use words, as I'm doing at the moment, but the words are to be a window into the real presence of God. Don't let the words distract you. Don't let me distract you from the real point of this morning, which is that we meet with our Saviour. As we sit, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are your family. Lord, that we as people are lovely. But Lord, you as our Saviour are fantastic, are just amazing and wonderful. So, Father, our hearts long to meet with you this morning. And, Lord, as we do that, may our hearts respond in praise and worship, and may we be changed to be more like you. And, Father, just this morning for our young people, Lord, as well as we worship you here and they learn about you over in the hall, Father, would you bless them as you bless us? Because we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our first hymn is number 301, Jesus Shall Reign. Jesus does reign as God in our universe. Question for us is, does he reign in our hearts? Number 301, Jesus Shall Reign.
Strength from shore to shore, till the moon shall rise.
Please do be seated. And we follow our service on page 1 in our service booklets. We've gathered together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other great commandment greater than these, for on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. So as we come to confession, allow the Lord to begin to untangle those knots of sin in your life. Those knots are points of pressure and pain. They're points of darkness and resistance, things that are stuck. Allow him to touch, to release, to bring healing, life and light. It's not just for now, it's for every day. Open the window of your heart and let his light in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all and together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect, the special prayer for today. God, the giver of life, whose Holy Spirit wells up within your church, by the Spirit's gifts, equip us to live the gospel of Christ and make us eager to do your will, that we may share with the whole creation the joys of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So we sit first. Deborah and Ruth bring our readings. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, beginning to read at verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honour on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, next to number 1448. May the mind of Christ my Saviour fill our lives in everything, every part, every time, every moment. 1448.
Thank you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is the 10th chapter of Mark's gospel, and we begin at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes first to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord, would you prepare our hearts not to receive my thoughts, but to hear your voice? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. Three amazing readings this morning, and three readings that hang together completely. Not that the readings don't always hang together, just sometimes maybe. Or perhaps it's more that I'm not always sharp enough to see how. I may have told you the story before when I was at Ripon College, Theological College. We were in the bar on a Friday evening, and I was talking to one of the lecturers, and I was moaning about the lectionary and how it didn't always seem that the three readings fitted together, and that what on earth were they playing at, and that the guy who did that, what was he thinking of? And this guy sat in front of me and said, "That will be me then." We did remain friends, but anyway, let's start this morning with our first reading. So chapter 53 of Isaiah. "So if at any time you have approached the Old Testament with doubt and suspicion as to its relevance for today, and you want to hang on to those doubts, then this is not the chapter for you. In fact, if that's you, then you should avoid Isaiah at all costs." This passage is the last of what are known as the four servant songs of Isaiah. They describe the service, they describe the suffering, and the ultimate exaltation or glorification, if you like, of the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, who we would all now recognize as Jesus Christ. And if you were to make any kind of theological study of this passage, you'd be bombarded by the phrase substitutionary atonement. It's hard to avoid. But basically, for this morning, we can just content ourselves with this alternative. Let's just say it's about his life for ours. Jesus died for our sins. And this is the amazing prophecy written the best part of 700 years before Jesus was even born. It is, of course, one of the best known, most familiar passages in the Old Testament, not least because Handel used some of these verses so effectively in his oratorio, The Messiah. The picture of this suffering servant is both bleak and powerful. It can stop us in our tracks, no matter how often we read it. Particularly moving, I think, is the phrase, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter." Especially when you remember that John the Baptist quoted those very words at Jesus' baptism. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of books that have been written on Isaiah's four servant songs. And the theology behind them can be deep and controversial at times. But for our purposes today, there's no need for us to enter into any arguments about theories of atonement and the morality or otherwise of a substitutionary understanding of phrases such as, "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him," or "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Similarly, we don't need to join the controversy around whether this puts us in the realm of spiritual poetry with metaphors that carry a huge punch, but which I think mustn't be tested to destruction, or whether this is a literal prophecy of something to come. Personally, I lean towards a more literal interpretation, but for us this morning, I think it's more important for us to just stop and wonder at these amazing words of prophecy. This somehow is all about love, a love that releases us from the dark tyrannies of a moral failure and the fears that can cripple our lives. So I'm happy to leave analysis to the theologians and concentrate on this as an incredible description of Jesus, who he is and why he came. All of which goes some way, perhaps, to setting the scene for our gospel reading. All the disciples, and especially James and John, would have been more than familiar with Isaiah's writings. They describe what every good Jew was waiting for. So what on earth were James and John thinking of when they asked Jesus if they could sit either side of him in his glory? We can see just how much in the dark the disciples were about what was going on. Perhaps James and John imagined themselves seated next to Jesus at some great banquet in the New Kingdom, maybe sharing a goblet of the finest of wines. Either way, they want something back for the trouble of following this man. Jesus has asked for total commitment, and now James and John want him to reciprocate and make it all worthwhile. Gently, very gently, considering the circumstances, Jesus takes another opportunity to take them all through what following him will all mean. Not at all what James and John had hoped for, just more mysterious stuff that leaves them even more in the dark. They were confident that they were able to drink the cup that Jesus would drink and be baptized with the baptism that Jesus would be baptized with. "We are able," they said when Jesus challenged them. Clearly, though, they had absolutely no idea what was going to be in said cup. Jesus isn't thinking about the joys of some messianic banquet. His cup doesn't have the best, but the bitterest of contents, because that's the cup that he would drink at Gethsemane. Where has this all got us? Well, implicit in these readings is the idea that following Jesus must involve some kind of suffering. Not necessarily the same suffering that Jesus endured, although there are many Christians who have travelled that particular road. Take that thought home with you by all means, but if that is just too hard for today, let me suggest that you take from this an encouragement to look out for your neighbour who is suffering. It's always enjoyable to raise a glass in the company of friends or family to celebrate an occasion or a piece of good news. But the real test of our love for others is our readiness to share in their cup of suffering. Suffering is a great leveller that few of us will escape, whether it's the personal pain of illness and disease, or if not that, than the agony of grief that comes to us all at one time or another. These are bitter pains that may not require our lives, but just our love in the sharing. How then might we respond to these readings? We could react in exactly the same way as James and John did. Push all this hard stuff to one side and concentrate on sharing the spoils of victory. Or we could think about the way that we love and serve others every day, even when it costs us something, perhaps especially when some personal sacrifice is involved. Or, failing all that, maybe to just go home with a better handle on what it took for Jesus to earn our salvation. Amen.
So we take a moment of quiet to reflect on those words and what God has for us this morning. And then a moment, Roy will lead us in intercessions.
Heavenly Father, help us to reflect on our own weaknesses and caution us against judging others. Difficult as it is, forgiveness is at the heart of our faith. Lord, help us fulfill that challenge. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in the dark months that we have just passed, you have shown us new ways, gentler ways, better ways. You have revealed the strength of our communities and the importance of human contact. Let us not forget these lessons as the world reopens. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, especially in the dark days that have just passed. Feeling your love in this church every day has been a joy and a ray of hope when things looked bleak. You guide us gently along the road to salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord, help us put aside the strident, self-interested voices that shout at us every day. Help us judge our society on the basis of Christian values, with calmness and understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the arts, for theatre, art, sculpture, literature, dance and music, particularly the trumpet. These are amongst your finest gifts to humanity. We have so missed them in recent times. Lord, in your mercy. We take a moment of silence, Lord, to pray for those on our prayer list, for the family and friends of Alex Ward, who died this week, and for Pam Ellingham, recovering well at home after her operation. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you'd like to turn in your service booklets to page 3, and we'll stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. And together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for a resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Remain standing for our next hymn, number 596. When I survey the wondrous cross, as our attention turns very specifically to the cross, number 596. But you have not come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So follow our service with the second of the Eucharistic prayers on page 7 of our service booklets. Page 7. For the Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night he's betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and to serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Service continues on page 17. As we say together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus,
bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. And so on page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our closing hymn, number 1199. Christ has made the sure foundation. God is everything. He sent his Son into the world. Jesus is everything. So Christ has made the sure foundation.
Thank you.
Please do join us for tea and coffee and biscuits and fellowship over in the hall immediately after this. It's our blessing. Lord, may it be known that we've been with you. Let there be traces of glory in our lives. Let there be the aroma of Christ upon us and the fire of God within us. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and those you serve, both now and always. Amen. Amen. So go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.